Even though a blurred distinction between performing and reality is a common occurrence among fans celebrating movie stars, Lombard pushed the phenomenon to a higher level in three ways. First, Lombard was known as an eccentric, from goofy parties to comically provocative observations on a litany of subjects. Second, screwball comedy is famous for its actors playing variations of their real identities. Director Howard Hawks cast Lombard in her breakthrough film, 20th Century, based upon her free-spirited private antics. Plus, Hawks directed her to be herself, an approach reinforced by Gregory LaCava in her greatest movie, My Man Godfrey. Third, Noel F. Bush cemented the connection between the private and public Lombard in an article for Life magazine with his amusing declaration. The world's number one attractive neurotic might well in her private life be as placid as a Hollywood cow at twilight. This point, however, cannot be proved by the character or career of Carol Lombard. Her personal behavior is certainly as kaleidoscopic as that of the character she impersonates. This viewer identification with Lombard undoubtedly made her death at only 33 years old all the more difficult for the public to accept. Link this tragedy to the early troubled days of World War II, and one has a take on a Lombard legacy that now is all but forgotten. War hero. This patriotic position was further cemented at the time by the actions of her grieving husband. More than 40, and with a directive from President Franklin D. Roosevelt to keep making movies, Gable opted to honor Lombard's request to join this man's army. After finishing the war-related and ironically labeled Somewhere I'll Find You, 1942, which had been in production when Lombard died, Gable enlisted in the Army Air Corps. In a combination of grief and patriotism, he trained for the most dangerous and hard-to-recruit position in the air service, tail gunner on a B-17 bomber. After several bombing missions over Germany, he received the Distinguished Flying Cross and Air Medal. But maybe his greatest war distinction was having Hitler put the equivalent of a $5,000 reward out for his capture. It seems that Gable had been the dictator's favorite pre-war actor, and he was most distressed that the star was now flying bombing missions over Germany. Gable believed that Lombard would have gotten a special kick out of these Hitler stories. The dark side of the German bounty was that Gable never wore a parachute. He was not going to be taken alive. But the fact remains that Gable would not have had to put himself in harm's way. Many major stars younger than Gable, such as John Wayne and Bing Crosby, stayed at home to make patriotic movies. This linkage of Lombard as both a symbol of patriotism and a catalyst for her husband's own patriotism was further cemented in the public's perception by the launching of the Liberty ship Carol Lombard in early 1944. It was the beginning of yet another Bond campaign, and Gable spoke to a christening crowd of more than 15,000. There was even a screwball footnote to the festivities. Another actress associated with the genre, Indiana-reared Irene Dunne, christened the ship. The ceremony proved to be Gable's most difficult mission of the war. He managed to get through his speech, but when Dunne broke the champagne bottle on the ship's hull, Gable began to weep openly. Something he had not done at Lombard's funeral. During this apparent moment of patriotic closure, Gable might have thought of the last line of President Roosevelt's telegram of condolence. "She is and always will be a star, one we shall never forget, nor cease to be grateful to." This metaphorical reading of the term star for both patriot and movie personality had never been more true than the launching of the Liberty ship Carol Lombard. For Gable and the rest of the nation, Lombard now belonged to the ages.